Hello and welcome to the ABCs of Rock podcast. I'm your host, Nathan Schuer. The ABCs of Rock is proudly part of the Weston Media Podcast Network. I thank you for tuning in to this podcast each and every week. Throughout the season, I'll be progressing my way through the alphabet from A to Z, where I'll be featuring bands or musicians going in alphabetical order with no exception. It's not only been a blast, it's also been an education, and I'm having the time of my life. Before I begin, I must say a couple very important words about this podcast. I do not own the rights to any of the music played on this podcast. The musicians or the music labels own the copyright. I play this music under the doctrine of fair use. I am not here as a DJ, but to offer music commentary and criticism. My goal is for you to gain a larger appreciation for the bands or the musicians played here on this podcast. And I can't emphasize this enough. Please go out and legally purchase or stream their music. The musicians need your support. My only goal is that I hope this show contributes to spreading the good word about the bands you hear on these episodes. I do not profit in any way from this podcast. It is truly done out of my pure love of the music. So I welcome all of you back to the show this week, and this is going to be a fun one, I think. And right off the bat, I am going to apologize for the condition of my voice. I am dealing with one of those really, really nasty springtime colds. Started feeling ill a couple days ago, and I will probably edit out a lot of the sniffling and coughing and wheezing that I'm surely doing throughout this episode, but you don't need to hear that. But believe me, I do not feel great, but I'm here anyways because it is my mission to bring you an episode every week. And gosh darn it, I am here to do it anyways. So this episode could completely fall off the rails. I may be without a voice by the end of this episode, but I'm going to do my best. So right off the bat, I wanted to time this episode because it wasn't that long ago that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame announced their 2021 inductees. And every year seems like there's so much controversy surrounding that. And again, of course, the bands like Judas Priest and the bands like Iron Maiden did not get in. So, but here's what I'm going to say right off the bat. I put no weight into the decisions that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame make. They are not the gatekeepers of quality music. They are a private organization. And they have the right to do whatever they want to do. They are not, the people that run the hall are not necessarily musicians. They are not contemporaries of the musicians that get voted in. It's not like the artists that get voted into the Hall of Fame then get a say in who goes in next. If that were the case, you see a much different lineup of bands and musicians that would get in. But it's a private organization, and they can do whatever the hell they want to do, and you know what? I don't care. But what I'm going to do today is name off 10 bands that if I were running the Rock and Roll, my voice is going already, but I'm going to list off 10 bands that if I were in charge of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they would definitely be included probably long ago. So that's what I'm going to do today. These bands are in no particular order, and this is not a definitive list. This is not my top 10 either. This is what I would say 10 great bands, and there are dozens and dozens and dozens more that I would also include on this. But I wanted to make an entertaining show today. So it's a nice, diverse group of musicians and bands with an extremely eclectic variety of music. So that's why I selected these today. But some of these are obvious picks, and some of them might not be. But they are just ones that I personally feel had a gigantic impact on the music industry and should be in. But then again, this is just if I were in charge. And everybody, I'm sure, has their own list of bands that believe that they should be in the Hall of Fame. So, you know, this is take it all with a grain of salt. And before I get to the first pick, I just want to acknowledge that one of the picks that you're not going to hear is Joy Division. Now, Joy Division, I fully believe, should be in there, but they were my opening act, let's just say. They were the band that we heard coming into the show. That song was off their album Closer. That song was A Means to an End, one of my favorites off that album, one of my favorites all time from Joy Division. That song came off that from 1980. Totally one of the most influential bands of all time. Totally is a shoo-in to get into the Hall of Fame. I don't know why they're not, but I wanted to just give them a nod. But I do not have them on this list, even though they totally would be. And if I did another snubbed list, they probably would be on that. My first band that I am picking on my list is Alice in Chains. Their debut came out in 1990. That album was Facelift, which included the smash hit Man in the Box. But I'm not picking something off of this album. I actually am picking something off of their follow-up EP, which was titled Sap. This was sandwiched in between their two really gigantic albums. The one that followed up after this was Dirt, which was gigantic, of course, which came out, I think, later that year, maybe a year later. I'm not too sure. And most notably, I think it's known for the song Got Me Wrong, which was also featured on the Clerks soundtrack. And I think that actually maybe is what got me into Alice in Chains. Well, Sap came out, on February 4th, 1992. And like I said, it's really kind of the forgotten EP from Alice in Chains, because they also put out Jar of Flies a couple years later, and that was gigantic as well. And that had, it was funny, because that had 7 songs on it, but it was 30 minutes long, which is actually longer than the last Green Day or Weezer album that just came out. So, you know, I don't know. I believe that they should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on the merits of their early career, especially on the strength of those original 3 LPs. They each went at least double platinum, and Dirt went 4 times platinum. But it's not all about record sales. At the dawn of the 90s, they were absolutely one of the most influential bands at the time. Yes, they were lumped into the big 4 or 5 grunge bands at that time, Pearl Jam, Nirvana. And somehow that included Soundgarden and Stone Temple Pilots. They had their grungy moments, but I would actually argue that they weren't really grunge. But Alice in Chains were much closer to that genre, I'd say, at that time. But they stuck to their guns, maintaining a winning formula throughout their run in the 90s. They had a major influence on bands later on, like Godsmack and the Deftones and Clutch, Buckcherry, Stained, and Disturbed, just to name a couple of them. Losing Lane Stanley was one of the moments that really hit me hard when I learned about his death. And I did see them live around the release of their comeback Black Gives Way to Blue album, which was around probably 2009. It was a double bill with the Deftones. It was a great show. Alice in Chains was fantastic. William Duvall is really the real deal on lead vocals. He's amazing. But I do have one huge gripe with the sound of their production on the newer albums with William on lead vocals. I mean, every single song with his vocals are so buried in the mix. And I know that wasn't, you know, unusual with Lane when he was fronting the band, but there were many songs in which Lane's vocals would carry the song. And it's as if the band still doesn't really trust William to put his vocals in the forefront of the music. I mean, at least every once in a while. But let's get back to the song, and the one I'm going to choose is from Sap, and it's titled Right Turn. It's one of my favorites from the band. So let's get to that. That was Right Turn by Alice in Chains. All right, so we are going to move on to another band, and this is going to be a very different type of song, very different type of band. And this is probably my favorite band when I was a youngin' back in the early 80s. I was all about new wave and synth pop for a while, and I will admit I had a Duran Duran poster on my wall. Yes, I loved these guys. What can I say? The UK new wave band, synth rock band, is about to celebrate their 40th anniversary of their self-titled album. And during the 80s, and specifically the early 80s, probably from 1982 to 1985, there was no bigger band on the planet. What's interesting is at the time, I don't think their musical style was extremely original or anything. They were clearly taking their cues from earlier synth pop bands and power pop bands and new wave bands like Blondie and The Cars, Ultravox, definitely Kraftwerk and Roxy Music and Gary Numan and even Adam Ant. But what I feel makes Duran Duran worthy of the Hall of Fame, though, is for three reasons. Their songs were just killer. I mean, hit after hit for several years. They were pioneers in the music video landscape, not just music video stars, but in the way music videos were created and marketed ever since. Even more important is the influence they are impacting on the industry now more than ever. Rock and roll is constantly going through changes in its sound, but if you haven't noticed, new wave and electronic synth rock and synth pop is in the midst of a gigantic resurgence, and their impact on today's artists can be heard all over the place. I saw Duran Duran in concert in 1999 while they were touring their Medazzaland album. I will admit, I was quite underwhelmed because their stage presence was quite stiff, if I remember. And I recall a very, I guess it was a bizarre set list. You know, it was very little from their 80s heyday. Outside of a couple of their big hits, they were pushing Medazzaland like crazy, which in my opinion is one of their weaker albums. I think they were testing out songs from their upcoming pop trash album. Now, mind you, this was a full year before Pop Trash even came out. And I do actually kind of like Pop Trash. But I was rewarded with one gift during the show. Nestled somewhere, I believe, in the middle of the concert, they did play a deep cut from their debut album and completely made my night. And it's always been probably in my top five all-time Duran Duran songs, no lie. So from their debut album, this is Friends of Mine. right. That was Friends of Mine by Duran Duran. So up next, we're going to jump back to the 90s. And my third pick is Beck. So like so many, I never expected Beck to have the successful career he's had when I look back at his humble beginnings. When you consider how quickly he rose to fame with what was essentially a novelty song, Loser, it's an absolute miracle that Beck didn't become a footnote in the 90s alternative rock scene. But then, album after album, Beck kept surprising all of us by continuing to grow as a musician, a producer, and a songwriter. He kept reinventing himself. Pretty much every album since Mellow Gold in 1994 has been meticulously produced to hone in on its own distinct sound and personality, completely switching musical genres in some cases. Beck is a pioneer in the industry if there ever was one, and perhaps more than any artist represented on this list today. He is most deserving of being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. When Odelay dropped, my world changed. Maybe not right away, but the impact of this album absolutely opened up a whole new world of indie rock, lo-fi, and more experimental-sounding music. The album Odelay has so many tracks on it that I love, but I'm going to go with a very, very experimental song, which I just adore. This song is called Novocaine. I'm going with the song because it's one of the strangest songs off of Odelay, and it properly represents how far he'd already come since the big splash of Loser. So let's check out Novocaine.
Thank you.
All right, this next pick might come as no surprise because how many times have I dropped the name Harry Nilsson on this podcast? But Harry Nilsson absolutely deserves to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He's a Brooklyn native and was one of the great American poets of the century. His music is practically unclassifiable, but there's no doubt that his contributions to music in the 1970s and his influences on his contemporaries and followers were enormous. This is one of the artists that the Beatles called their favorites. For that alone, he deserves the nod. Also, his music was covered constantly, including many already inducted Hall of Famers, including Neil Diamond, Brian Wilson, the Yardbirds, Ricky Nelson, the Ronettes. Little known fact about Harry Nilsson is that he achieved all of his success without ever playing a live gig. I didn't actually even know that until I did some research. He never played in front of an audience. That's incredible. His influences on film are enormous. I mean, the music that he contributed to movie soundtracks like Midnight Cowboy, Goodfellas, Reservoir Dogs. Everybody knows his music from those movies. His songs are constantly licensed for motion pictures. And just that Reservoir Dogs movie, you know, you probably already know the song Coconut and his hard rock anthem Jump in a Fire, which was featured in Goodfellas. That's what I tell people when they look at me inquisitively when I bring up Harry Nilsson. Both of those songs were on the 1971 release Nilsson Schmilsson, which is a must own if not already in your collection. The album that I'm going to pick a song from is from 1977, which was sort of the end of the run for Harry. He put out 14 albums in an 11-year period, which is truly amazing by today's standards. And he did release one more album after 3 more years, but it really amounted to no fanfare at all. The song I am picking is titled Who Done It. This is a fun one, I think, so I hope you enjoy this one.
It was a rainy night and all the windows were tight. There were 13 people in the house. The owner and his wife, the butler and his wife, cook with her knife, a couple named Smythe. The Andersons were there with another strange pair and the scary caretaker and me. The clock struck one, there was the sound of a gun, and I heard somebody run away. Well, the world alive had terror in their eyes, and I overheard the Andersons say, who could have done it? Who could have done it? And I wonder, where's the crook in her knife? Madam, said Adam, with his wife by his side, it was the shot we heard that took her life. The other couple named Sloan and I ran to the phone to call the police. Just then, all the power went out. We heard a great shout, and we knew for someone else it was the end. When the power came on, we were shocked with alarm. For instead of being 12, we were 10. Who could have done it? Who could have done it? The Andersons were such a nice pair. Now the owner and his wife both afraid for their life, so they hurried to the door to run away. But before they got there, there was a whistle through the air, then another, then they both had passed away. There were 7 of us left now, afraid of death now, but I knew it wasn't me or the Sloans. Cause when the power went out and we heard the other shout, we were out there in the hallway on the phone. That left the butler and his wife and the couple named Smythe and the old scary caretaker too. So the Sloans and I, who were both afraid to die, had to think of something quick we could do. So we called the Smythes and the butler and his wife, and we gathered in the drawing room. But before we could call for the caretaker too. It was too late for he had met his doom. It looked like poison. That left five were still alive. The Sloans, the Smythes, and myself. And once again the lights went out, and I heard a great shout from both the Smythes and the Sloans. And then the lights came on again, and I looked around again, and everybody was dead, and I was alone. Next thing I knew, I was awakened with my hands in chains. There was a man with a gun, and he said, "Don't bother, son, you'll have plenty of time to explain." I was rushed to a car, then taken to a cell, and a lawyer came in and said his name. He said, "I'm sure you told the truth." "Well, the truth is, my boy, to believe it, the judge would be insane." "Now, before I pass sentence on you, have you anything to say?" And I said, "Are you kidding?" I said, "This must be a dream." I said, "This can't be real. You don't believe a word that I've said." And then he looked me in the eye and said, "Have mercy on the soul." And I was hanged by the neck until death. Hey, wait a minute. Hey, stop. Hey, would you mind rewinding that last sentence? I mean, hang by the what? Until when? Hey, listen. I think you made a large mistake here, first of all. A nun, okay? What do you mean there's nothing to get hung up about? I mean, you should be in here. Hey, you ever hear the word appeal? Well, I'm about to appeal you off that bench in a minute unless you change that decision. Listen, I have a lot of friends in this town.
My fifth pick is from the English punk rock band formed in Bolton, England, back in the mid-70s, and it is the Buzzcocks. I love their rapid-fire approach and their irreverent lyrics. They are one of my favorite all-time punk rock bands. Their music was just as influential as the Ramones, the Sex Pistols, or the Clash. Can especially be heard in the following generation of pop-punk bands like Green Day or The Offspring, or maybe even Supergrass. One of the saddest days in recent memory was on December 6th of 2018 when I learned that founding member and lead vocalist Pete Shelley had died of an apparent heart attack. The band says that they plan to move on and continue without him. They still have Steve Diggle, the only other original member of the group. Pete was the heart and soul of the band, though, so we shall see what happens. So I don't usually do this. I usually focus on album cuts, but I love this song so much. And a lot of people just really aren't that familiar with the Buzzcocks. So I am going to pick what is probably their most popular song. But I think that there's enough people out there that really just are not aware of their greatness. So I am going to select off of their 1978 album, which was titled Love Bites, one of the greatest, I guess it would be a pop punk song of all time, titled Ever Fallen in Love with Someone You Shouldn't Have. And also, I don't often recommend compilations, but if you need to start someplace with the Buzzcocks, you could go with their compilation titled Singles Gone Steady, which has all the best songs from the first couple of records. It's actually where I got started before I took a deeper dive into their studio records. So this, check out this one, turn this one up. It's a great one.
Yeah.
All right. What a great song. Before I move on, I just want to take a brief moment since we're right now halfway through the podcast and thank you again for tuning into this week's show and say that I really appreciate every loyal listener and subscriber to this podcast. If you've been listening to these episodes, I would love to hear from you. There's an email I check frequently, abcofrockpodcast@gmail.com. And of course, you can always hit me up on social media on Facebook at @abcofrockpodcast and on Twitter at @abcrockpodcast. The show is available on dozens of podcast apps. So please, if you love the show, subscribe, give it a rating, and review whatever app you prefer. Those ratings and reviews do play a large role with the algorithms that help raise the profile of this show and make it more discoverable for a larger audience. So it's a win-win for both of us. I thank each of you in advance. All right, we're going to move on to my sixth pick. So this one comes with an asterisk, potentially. Technically, Brian Eno is already inducted into the Hall of Fame, but as an original member of Roxy Music, in which he played keyboards on their debut album. So he's actually in already. But what is a real shame is that it's the rest of his career that hasn't been recognized by the Hall yet. The case for Brian Eno is so stacked, I don't know where to start. Most people probably aren't even aware of his contributions as a record producer. He's produced three of the greatest rock trilogies of all time. David Bowie's Berlin trilogy, Low, Lodger, and Heroes. The Talking Heads trilogy, More Songs About Buildings and Food, Fear of Music, and Remain in Light. And U2's trilogy of The Unforgettable Fire, The Joshua Tree, and Octoon Baby, all back to back. For all of those alone, he should be a shoo-in. Then there's all of his solo work and his contributions with artists like Robert Fripp and John Cale and David Byrne and just dozens more. His influence on prog rock alone can't be denied. His contributions as a solo artist are incredibly underrated. Many people think he only made very instrumental soundscapes, but which is true, he did a lot of that. But early in his solo career, he put out four amazing prog rock albums that are must-owns. 1973's Here Come the Warm Jets, 1974's Taking Tiger Mountain by Strategy, 1975's Another Green World, and 1977's Before and After Science. Another Green World has always been my favorite. It's mystical. It's a spiritual journey that I hope everyone on this podcast will go out and listen to from start to finish. So from that album, I'm going to pick a song called Golden Hours. And this is might not be an obvious pick. There's a lot of very obscure things on here. A lot of this kind of does teeter between prog rock and soundscapes. But like I said, it's a beautiful record that really should be listened to with headphones on when you can really devote your full attention to it. It is a very heady album, but I highly recommend it. It's worth picking up. So here is Golden Hours.
Sand, oh me, oh my, I think surprised at my degree of uncertainty. Signs taking over from the fading day. Perhaps my brains are old and scrambled.
For my seventh pick, I'm going to go with the Pixies. And the Pixies were formed when two UMass students, Charles Michael Kitteridge Thompson IV, a.k.a. Black Francis, it's a good thing he shortened that name, and Joey Santiago paired up in 1986 to form a band. Shortly later, bassist Kim Deal and drummer David Lovering rounded out the lineup. Their initial output of albums, 1988's Surfer Rosa and 89's Doolittle and 1990's Bossa Nova, and to a lesser extent, 1991's Trompe Le Monde, are reason enough to induct them into the hall. Those albums alone were as influential on the indie music scene, including the upcoming grunge movement and indie rock scene, as any band was. Their impact on music in the 90s was enormous. Bands like Ben Folds 5 and Nirvana, Weezer, Arcade Fire, Radiohead, and Smashing Pumpkins are just obvious. I hear so many people dump on their new material, saying the band isn't the same after the departure of Kim Deal. And, you know, they're right, but it's not the same band. Of course it's not. Kim brought so much to the band, and it's definitely left a bit of a void. Black Francis, I know, has an ego the size of Alpha Centauri, and he wanted the spotlight within the band. He is, you know, the main songwriter, and he is the force behind it. So that can't be denied. Their replacement bassist, Paz Lenchantin, there we go, I think does a good job, you know, singing the old Kim Deal songs. And I can completely appreciate Kim deciding to move on with her own band, The Breeders, where she has full control. But I do really like the new albums. The most recent one, not as much, but the two that came first, I think, was Indie Cindy and Head Carrier, I think are solid albums. And it's from Head Carrier that I'm going to pick this song, which is one of my favorites of all time from the Pixies. This is Talent.
This real cool dude today looking like Jack Palance. He said, I wanna get through to you and help you find your talent. He said that if I had a certain style, then stuff would start to happen. He said that soon he was going away, 'cause he's a major talent. Talent, fighting on the east side, talent. Taking on the west side, talent. Fucking up the north side, he's a major talent. He was getting through to me, and I would take his challenge. And maybe soon I'd be going away, 'cause I had certain talents. Talent, fighting on the east side, talent. Taking on the west side, talent. Fucking up the north side, I'm a major talent. Talent, fighting on the east side, talent. Taking on the west side, talents. Fucking up the north side. I met this dude today, down in the sewers of Paris. Was hiding from the sun. What a waste of talent.
All right, that was Talent by the Pixies. All right, we're going to switch gears for this next entry. The self-proclaimed king of the surf guitar is somehow not inducted into the Hall of Fame. Of course, I'm talking about the legendary Dick Dale. And when you consider that his contemporaries, other bands like the Safaris and the Ventures are already in, it just kind of makes your head scratch even more. Plus, Dick Dale had a very unique style of guitar playing that is just so recognizable. His fast playing is on par with the greatest speed metal guitarist of all time. And you know, those bands like Slayer and Judas Priest just had to idolize his amazing guitar work. Keep in mind, Dick Dale was doing quote unquote surf rock before anyone else was doing it, long before Jan and Dean or the Beach Boys. His guitar playing was an influence on countless guitarists, many whom would cite Dick Dale as a major influence. Guitarists like Jeff Beck, Eddie Van Halen, and of course, Jimi Hendrix. His career took a hit, though, in the mid-60s when, of course, you know, surf rock had a short shelf life, number one. But also, he was diagnosed with rectal cancer. He beat that cancer, but he took the opportunity to pursue other endeavors and picked up another career for a long period of time. He would eventually return to the stage in the 80s, and in the 90s got a gigantic career bump when, of course, Quentin Tarantino used his song Miseru in his movie Pulp Fiction. It was the first time many people had been introduced to Dick Dale, including myself. I went out and purchased his greatest hits compilation, and it's been something I've returned to many times over the years. One of those deeper cuts from that compilation is The Wedge, which can also be found on his third studio album titled Checkered Flag from 1963. So no matter where you get your Dick Dale, it's all good, but let's check out The Wedge. We'll be right back. right, moving on to my ninth pick, and I think I teased this at the top of the show, but once again, Iron Maiden did not get inducted this year. And the amount of support that's been coming out for them by their contemporaries has actually been, it's been kind of heartwarming. I've been on Twitter a lot, seeing everybody that's come forward saying that it's just an absolute travesty that they have not been inducted. It really is amazing. Not amazing. It really is sad that they haven't been. I don't know how it's possible. Well, they are one of, if not the forefather of speed slash thrash metal. And for that alone, they absolutely should be in the Hall of Fame. Year after year, Maiden fans are always disappointed that Steve Harris and Bruce Dickinson and Nicky McBrain and company are snubbed, and it just happened again. So, you know, what's so amazing about Maiden is one of the strongest cases, you know, for them to be in is their longevity. But also that basically it's the same lineup for most, you know, for most of that band's tenure. There are only a handful of bands with Maiden's chemistry as well. They have better chemistry than almost any other band. Every member in their lineup is a master at their craft. Their influence on the heavy metal genre is felt everywhere. Every hard rock and heavy metal band that has probably existed can cite Maiden as an influence. In the 80s alone, they had a run of 7 straight albums that went either gold or platinum. Album that I'm actually going to pick is not from their classic period, but I want to highlight something from 2000, which was their album Brave New World. You know, I call it the return of Iron Maiden because starting here and going forward, their albums have kicked some serious ass. They struggled a little in the mid to late 90s with replacement singer Blaze Bailey. I don't think those albums with him were bad, but, you know, you can't deny, the voice and face of Iron Maiden is Bruce Dickinson. This album also marked the return of guitarist Adrian Smith, who also had been absent from the band for quite some time. It was a real homecoming album for Maiden. So, sit back and enjoy this one. I'm going to go with this track titled The Thin Line Between Love and Hate. This one is an epic, so relax and enjoy it.
Yeah.
right, round two, my 10th pick on the list today. And I couldn't do this list without mentioning the Replacements. They were formed in Minneapolis in 1979, and their music evolved from early punk to pioneers of indie rock and were major influences on alternative rock. The Replacements are clearly one of the biggest snubs of all time. They were never a household name, but one of the most influential bands of all time. I mean, like on a level that the Velvet Underground were. Bands like Soul Asylum, REM, Wilco, Everclear, and of course Nirvana were all inspired by this band led by Paul Westerberg and Tommy Stinson. The Replacements also not only made great records, but they embodied the spirit of rock and roll. Their live shows during the early days, if you were around to see them, I hear are the stuff of storybooks. Sometimes they'd come out and put on the greatest and tightest show you've ever seen, but then the next night they might not be able to finish the set because they were too drunk. So like I said, they embodied the angst and rebellion that rock and roll stood for, and I respect that. So from their album, Let It Be, which is one of the boldest moves a band can make, titling their album Let It Be, which was released in 1984, I'm selecting the album closer titled Answering Machine, which I just adore so much. So here it is.
If you lose, 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 if you l
All right, there you have it. My 10, well, I'm not going to call it my top 10 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame snubs, because like I said, this was not a comprehensive list. It was just 10 bands that I feel are deserving, and I could probably name another 50 or 60. And, you know, next year when they snub all those bands all over again, I'll probably do this list again. But I wanted to select a nice variety of music to do this week, and I love every band and musician represented here today. Let me know what you think of my picks and if you disagree. I hope you enjoyed this week's show. You can send your feedback or hate mail to abcofrockpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you so much for taking this journey with me this season. Also, please don't hesitate to reach out to me on social media on Facebook at ABC of Rock Podcast or on Twitter at ABC Rock Podcast. I love getting feedback and messages letting me know what you think of the show. It's been an absolute pleasure to be here as your host and entertainer over the past hour. I realize there are literally thousands of podcasts out there you could be listening to, and I sincerely appreciate you spending the time with me on this show. It means the world to me. The ABCs of Rock is part of the Weston Media Podcast Network. Thank you again, and have a great week, everyone.